Hello, and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 117. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And Zelda Queen has strong opinions about some animes.
Mainly the fact that they are ruining great story by adding way too much fan service.
Exactly.
Which, I will agree. In fact, we're just going to kind of jump into this, I think. We'll start by talking about Rosario plus Vampire, because it's one that I know we've both seen.
Yeah, because we watched... How many episodes did we get into? At least 10?
6 or 8 or something, I thought.
I thought we got maybe...
Oh, we got close to 13. We were close to halfway through.
And when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this sounds like an interesting premise. A human who's pretending to be supernatural in a school with supernatural beings, like vampires and werewolves and witches and stuff. And I'm like, this should be cool. And the premise is really interesting. I have to give him credit for that. But the fan service just kills it. Because it's like panty and boob shots galore. And especially with characters that are way underage. Like the witch. She's like, what, 13 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just kind of wrong. I don't care what the consent age is in Japan. But watching it here, it's just like...
It's a little creepy.
It is, and I'm just like, I thought the premise was so cool, but then I only got like maybe halfway through of that, and I'm just like, I couldn't watch anymore. I'm like, I'm kind of curious, but it's so pandering to the fan service, I just can't watch it.
Yeah, it's 26 episodes in total between both seasons. But yeah, I agree completely. I mean, I have better tolerance for the fan service, and sometimes when it's just constant like that, I just have a tendency to tune it out. But I kind of wonder, Japan, what kind of schools do they actually have here? If you know, well, actually, it's not even the schools. We know it's they're all repressed, but the fact that all the skirts of schoolgirls seem to go, you know, halfway down to their knee at the long ones,
like mid thigh, and it's like.
So they're all just, and the entire premise of the series actually is really interesting, and if you just follow the story part and can block out the fan service, it's actually, I found, an interesting anime. The first season is basically about Tsukune trying to survive being at the academy and constantly hiding that he's human. They stop focusing on that so much in the second season, and start focusing on his relationships actually evolving with the different girls, and how they keep telling him he has to eventually choose. But in classic anime fashion, at the last episode, he doesn't.
Yeah, because it's basically a supernatural harem. Because you have, what, a vampire, a succubus, a snow woman, and a witch. Does it get any more after that?
I guess you technically have the older witch, Rose, I think is her name.
Which one is she?
She got introduced late in the first season. She was the one that lived in the field of sunflowers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about her.
Well, she's not as major a character. I mean, she's there, she likes him, but she's not near as major as the other four girls.
Yeah.
Four girls. I did find the last episode to be a little ridiculous, though.
Because there is other fan service in other animes. Like, El Hazard, you know, that was one of the first animes I watched. It has some fan service in it. Because they kind of mistake, you know...
Makoto
as the female princess. And there is some, you know...
But it's not excessive, and it's not in your face all the time.
No, it's not like watching the end credits where every time it's a different panty shot of some girl's behind with different underwear. Every time.
For, you know, the 2 minutes it takes for the credits to roll.
It's just like...
Just sitting there.
It's like, I don't want to see this.
Actually, it was only during their little monologue thing on what's going to happen in the next episode.
Yeah, and it's just like...
But yeah, I'm not arguing with you. I agree completely that they need to tone down the fan service, and if they had, it could have actually been a really, really good anime.
Yeah, because, you know, a little bit here and there, tongue-in-cheek, I'm not going to discredit that, because, you know, sex happens. We can admit that. You know, especially teenagers and hormones raging and stuff. That sort of thing, you know, panty shot here or there or something, yeah, it's going to cause awkward moments, but every... single time, or like blatantly just like, look at me and my frilly underwear, and it's just like, it doesn't need to be all the time. So I stopped watching because I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. It just kind of goes against my base principles. And
yeah, on the other hand, we actually did make it through School of the Dead.
I don't even know how I did that. To be quite honest, I'm like, ooh, zombie.
Because I think it was a stronger anime, like, at base, you know. It's a really good concept, you know, survival, you know, zombies, a bunch of high schoolers. It's just really good.
It's the premise is really interesting.
And a lot of the characters are really good. The Weasley guy makes things really interesting.
Well, you said you're able to make it through 13 episodes of Rosario Vampire. School of the Dead was only 12.
Yeah,
I know. So and there's one that was threat. Just like, I'm not watching this because all it is bath time scene with boobs. And I'm just like, okay, this premise is kind of interesting again, but the fan service is just terrible. I do not like the zombie apocalyptic things because I can't really stand a lot of blood and gore. It's like Shaun of the Dead. If we watch Shaun of the Dead, I like it until, like, the scene when they're in the pub when the one guy gets pulled through the window and the zombies kind of pull him apart. I hate that scene. This is terrible. I'm just like, it just really bothers me. I don't like that sort of stuff, so which is why I don't watch the horror genre at all, because I don't like that, because then I start thinking about it too much, and it really grosses and freaks me out.
Okay. I'm going to move on a little bit from there for the time being. Another series that I watched was called Baldur Force EXE. Very short series. Came to a total of 4 episodes.
Well, I was going to say, I haven't even heard of this series. And
I randomly found it on Netflix. Basically, it's about this hacker who him and his group get caught by this group called Flak, and they end up killing one of his teammates. Well, then, instead of him going to jail, one of the commanders makes a deal for him to work for Flak because he's really good at what he does. Little background on how this world works. Their internet is called The Wire. Basically, you actually neurally link into there.
Like Ghost in the Shell?
Yeah. And if you get killed in there, you die in the real world.
Like The Matrix!
So, hence how, being a hacker, one of his buddies got killed. So he agrees to join Flak, but his ulterior motive is to find the person that killed his buddy. Well, while he's in there, this big virus starts taking over. While he's working for them, this big virus starts taking over the wire, which runs most parts of the city of people's lives. So by doing this, so it ends up being up to him and his team in order to stop this virus. It's only 4 episodes, so at most you're going to spend probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending. I think these actually were 30-minute episodes instead of, you know, the 20-minute episodes that were made for commercials. So at most you're looking at about 2 hours of your time. It's worth spending 2 hours.
Speaking of which, I have just heard on the blogosphere and everybody on DVR is posting new pictures. There is a new Sailor Moon series coming out next year.
I heard about that. In 2013, it's going to simulcast in the States and in Japan.
It is in conjunction with the 20-year anniversary of Sailor Moon, which just makes me feel old.
Is it essentially a reboot of the series?
They're rebooting the series. I don't know if it's going to... People are speculating. A lot of people are like, we hope it's closer to the manga. Because the manga and the animated series differ in a lot of great ways, especially the first season, like when Sailor Scouts get introduced and sort of the relationships are a little bit different. Like Usagi in the beginning, yeah, she's kind of a big crybaby whiner, but she really matures towards the end of the series, and I feel like in at least the animated series, she doesn't mature quite as well as she does in the manga. And there's a lot more heavy themes in the manga than like the animated series, like especially with the first season. She commits suicide, basically. Like, when she's the Moon Princess and Endymion is killed during the battle on the moon, she basically can't bear to be without him and kills herself on this special sword, which later they use to mortally wound Queen Beryl, who's actually, who then goes and gets infused by Metallica, who is, like, this weird, crazy being from another world who wants to basically destroy Earth.
Okay.
But it really goes into it, but it kind of gets me thinking too. I'm like, are they going to re-release the stuff? And then are they going to redub it? Because currently everything is, you can't get it with the English dub. It's basically kind of moratorium. Not available. What I have is the first four seasons, because season five never officially got released in the United States. Mostly because I don't think anybody picked it up, but mostly too, they're like, what are we going to do with Sailor Starfighters, who in the anime are basically males, who when they transform into Sailor Starfighters, basically go from male to female, because the gal who created Sailor Moon basically said Sailor Soldiers can only be female. But at least in the manga, they're females pretending to be male, so it makes more sense. In the anime, they are technically male that turn into female when they transform. So, I mean, they already had trouble with Sailor Uranus and Neptune's relationship. They were technically gay. And they're like, they were cousins in the US dub. But they couldn't really deal with that. So I'm like, are they going to re-release it? And I'm going to re-release all five seasons. Are they going to redo the dub or already do what's there? It makes me kind of wonder. And I'm curious to see what happens. Because Sailor Moon holds a special place in my heart. But that's because it's the first anime I ever watched that when I finally realized it was anime, that I was like, oh, what is this anime thing? And started exploring it more, because that's when I first got the internet. You know, back in high school, and the internet was sort of that thing where you...
AOL!
Yeah! When AOL was offering, you know, per
AOL
month...
AOL used to be such the big thing. If you had internet, you most likely had it through AOL. Well,
horrible modem sounds.
Yep. I mean, I remember that. I remember downloading WoW through an AOL internet, you know, modem connection. Trust me, it was not fun doing an update, because you had to do...
I can't believe you had the patience to deal with that.
This is the thing. I was at my
apartment,
and I had full cable, and I was like, this is awesome. And then my parents still had dial-up. And I told my brother about WoW, and he's like, okay, I'll play. And all he had was dial-up. And when I told my parents, like, you could have the internet greater. And they updated. Mostly because I think it's too, you know, my parents like the internet. They're kind of geeks at heart. And my mom, with eBay, she's like, I can look at things faster. And so my dad's like, sure, let's get cable.
Here's the biggest thing I ever tried to download over dial-up. The StarCraft demo.
Original StarCraft?
Original StarCraft demo.
I remember.
See, I didn't try to do online gaming at all until I was at college and was sitting on a, you know, handy university connection.
See, this is why I'm surprised I got into WoW. Because Proteus is all like, you should try out WoW. And he's using his computer where he has to literally pull the case off of it and blow a fan into it because it can't handle things. It overheats.
The problem is I bought a cheap case.
And then I'm like, really? Because he had it like on the lowest graphics setting. So I finally decided to get on the beta and try it. Because my computer was like brand new Duo processor at the time, which was...
I remember.
I have an 8-core processor now, so...
I remember when... The big thing was when I got that fancy 1 gig processor.
Yeah, and I'm just like, hertz, it's like, and I could boost it up to like the max level. I was like, this game is beautiful at the time. I could see why people want to play it. Poured all the way afterwards. I wish I realized that at the beginning, but it took Blood Elves. I'm sorry. I like having a pretty race. I like being pretty and elfy. Paladin for life, even though I haven't played in the past 2 years. Mrs. Pandaria are still not going to make me come back.
Well, I'm going to go back to the whole Sailor Moon thing about talking about maybe them being more true. I have more hope for that because we've seen more of that in this day and age with how they're doing anime and stuff. And they're much more acceptant of interesting styles of storytelling, different styles of storytelling.
With the popularity of the property now, I think the creator should have some clout to...
Well, Sailor Moon is still popular. I mean, I finally... As much as I love it, I finally sold off my manga. I had a Japanese and English version of it. And I got, like, basically almost $200 out of those two versions. And I'm like, yeah, Crane, I'm gonna miss it, but I'm like, I've read those things to death. I know what it looks like, I don't mind going on because they've re-released it. They are re-releasing it as a 12 edition volume, which they re-released in Japan a couple years ago, where instead of 18 volumes, down to 12, and Naoko Takushi, who, you know, originally made it, redid a lot of the cover art for it and everything. And so I gotta give him props for that. And so with the 20th anniversary, it sounds like a lot of maybe the original Japanese voice actors are even coming back to do it. So I'm just really curious to see what they do, especially since it's going to be silently cast in, you know, U.S. and Japan. I'm probably going to just ignore it until next year, just because I kind of do that. I'd rather not know a lot about a series and then wait till it's coming out, because then it just makes me too anticipatory for it.
And you don't like that? You like avoiding as many spoilers
as
possible.
Yeah, I just kind of like imagining what things, like doing Zelda. I really had fun playing Zelda when it came out, and I kind of tried to avoid anything about it because I'm just like...
I never did get that review.
I never did. I'm sorry. I have sort of fallen off the game and anime radar. I've been playing a bit, but not as much because I'm just like... I have just not felt as attached to stuff. I really want to play, but every time I think about stuff, like when your cell phone is going off with the original Zelda music, I'm like, I just want to plug in my original NES, blow out the cartridge, and see what save files I have for the original Zelda cartridge. I don't even know. We might still have my dad's original Zelda playthrough. Because when we got our NES, my dad played it to death. Not me and my brother, because I was like 5 and he was like 3.
Zelda was a hard game.
Zelda was a hard game. I remember watching my dad play through it. I remember watching my dad play for the original Final Fantasy. I remember when he got to Chaos, who is the final boss in Final Fantasy. It was him, my mom, and me and my brother. We were all watching him play it. We had a calculator out. Every time he damaged Chaos, we would add in the damage points to see if how many points it would take to defeat him. Which I guess is why I have such a fondness for video games, because to me, it was very much a family affair, because my parents had an Atari, and when the NES came out, they basically got it, and my dad played a lot more than me and my brother, because we were so young at the time, but they were involved in it. Most parents nowadays, they just buy the thing and it's a babysitter for their kids, but my parents were involved with it. Even my grandparents, even though they didn't understand a lot of it, they knew that we liked it and would buy us stuff. I never asked for Super Metroid for the Super Nintendo for my birthday. But my grandma knew we liked playing that, and she bought that for my birthday because it was in the bargain bin for like 20, 25 bucks. And I was like, oh, I love that game. I played it to death after I got it. I was like, after I played through it the first time, I'm like, okay, what can I do to get the special ending?
Didn't you do the speedrun?
Yes, I sat down during a Christmas break. I was like, I don't have anything else to do today. I put it in. I did it under 2.5 hours. I got about 75 to 80% even of all the items found, which I thought was pretty good at the time. I mean, that's one of my best memories. And my grandma just kind of knew I liked it. And it has a special place in my heart now, still, especially since my grandparents are gone. I remember, you know, doing Ocarina of Time when my grandma was over, and I basically, when she was over the entire time, I finished the water temple level. I know.
This has been a long visit for your grandma.
Well, this was like right after they had moved to, you know, 4 hours away, and she came over to visit, and I had already started playing. And I was visiting with her while I was playing through it. My parents were too, and so it took me 4 hours to do it, but I did it while she was there. So to me, I miss that. I don't feel that connection with a lot of more newer games. I don't feel so bad with, like, Skyward Sword, because I had a lot of friends come over while I was playing it, and so it still has, you know, kind of a special place, and it sort of attaches a little bit better, but it's not the same as, like, waking up purposely early before you go to middle school so you can go through and finish the Turtle Rock level of Link to the Past because you are borrowing the game from your aunt. I'm sorry, I've gotten on this whole, like... Yeah.
But going back to the bit about, like, spoilers and stuff, I'm kind of the opposite. I want to know what's going on with stuff. Like, The Hobbit. I'm just like,
watch all the production videos, look at everything on torn.net.
And I'm kind of like, I don't want to know. The only thing I've looked at recently is the Coming Soon poster, which is just, it's just the right amount of teaser. It's showing Gandalf walking through the Shire. And it says The Hobbit, what's the first one called?
I think Unexpected Journey.
Yeah. And just him, and it says Coming Soon.
See, and then I'm in the middle. I don't like too many spoilers, but I like to whet my appetite a little bit.
And I'm just, to me, that's just enough. I'm like, and I think we have a different connection since we've lived in New Zealand for practically 4 years.
Yeah.
When like, I watch Lord of the Rings now, it's like, it's New Zealand. I know exactly the spot that they are in. I have actually been there and walked through that spot. I can't watch it now and not think of New Zealand. Feel the same way?
Oh yeah, when they were, I was watching the one with them doing the, like, one of the production videos basically just about all of their location shooting. And it's just like, yeah, okay, so, you know, there's Matamata, where they film Hobbiton, and they're like, and they're going through like, yeah, this time we actually built with wood, and you're like knocking on the hobbit holes, we're like, we're not polystyrene this time, these are permanent.
Yeah. Because before, you know, literally, when we were living
they built them out of polystyrene, you know, it's just, it's packing peanut, basically, mm-hmm. material. You know, it's just, it looks okay on film, but, you know, it rains on it, it's gone, basically.
Yeah, because basically the farmer who owns the field is like, yeah, you can use it, but please take it down. They had people going through doing tours of this place with nothing there.
The farmer's son runs that tour company. And I'm guessing that he was like, Dad, this is a cash cow.
Honestly, if they make it permanent, I wouldn't mind paying an extra bit of money to be able to stay in a real...
Hobbit house?
Yeah, basically Bilbo Bag Inn. I would not mind paying money to stay in Bag Inn.
You know, Bag Inn would be like $1,000 a night or something. I know. Like, random Hobbit hole is probably like, you know, 200 or something, but...
But that's, this is the thing, because New Zealand just encapsulates what Middle-earth is. Once you've been there, it kind of sort of spoils it a little bit, but if you haven't, the locations are so pristine that you can really feel like this is a place beyond, you know, mortal touch. A lot of New Zealand is. There's not that many people that really live there, and they really are concerned about preserving what they have, and so there's a lot of places where there just aren't no people. It's like driving down the road, and for 4 hours, you maybe encounter one car going the opposite way. I gotta give them credit for that. Sorry. I should, you know, drink more and talk more.
According to V, Drunk Zelda Queen is interesting to listen to, so.
Hey, we got a comment saying I'm better after I've drunk a little, so my inhibition level is a little bit lower, so I'm a little bit
more I'm going to move on a little bit. Feel free to interject where needed later.
Yes.
San Diego Comic-Con just ended today, and while I didn't pay too much attention to what's going on, I need to go back and read through everything. There was some news on Iron Man 3 and how there's going to, you know, we could see War Machine again in this one. They did some of the filming for the Firefly 10-year anniversary that's going to be on Science Channel in, I think it is November, where the entire crew, staff, however you want to consider it,
came back together for
the first time in 10 years at this year's Comic-Con. Which I think that's kind of cool. I really liked Firefly, though. I think most geeks who have seen it really liked it.
I think it's good. Maybe not, like, super spectacular, but I think it's just because they couldn't hit their stride yet to really develop
I mean,
things.
I think the thing is, like, you watch and you're like...
The potential
like,
is
yeah, there. Yeah, it's like you can see this could be an amazing series.
There's so much that they did not touch on that they never got a chance to.
Yeah, and then they made that movie that kind of... was disappointingly tried to wrap everything up
in 2 hours.
I hate that movie. Really, I don't like it.
You still don't know what the heck was up with the Reverend.
It just makes me sad because I'm like, this does not explain anything. It just makes me angry because they just kill people off.
They kill Walsh. They kill the Reverend.
Reverend's death.
Shepherd.
Sorry, the Shepherd.
His death made a little bit more sense, but Walsh was just like, you're just doing this to purposely kill a character everybody likes. It didn't feel impactful. I don't mind when really characters you really care about get killed off, because that happens. It's real life. But that one just like...
It's just like really random. It's just like, oh, it just random
feels,
spike.
It feels so arbitrary that it doesn't feel like...
it had any purpose.
Yes. I mean...
let's see. They also did the pilot of the new movie, of the new TV show on the WB called Arrow, which is basically the Green Arrow.
Hmm.
So they're doing a Green Arrow TV series, and it's not from what I've heard, it's not going to be like the one. It's not going to be like a continuation of the Smallville Arrow, Smallville Green Arrow, because I don't think it is. And apparently, they have a lot of Easter egg and nods to the original Green Arrow TV, comic book. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm actually looking forward to checking that out in September, because it's always interesting to see the superheroes that actually don't have superpowers, because it's a little more dangerous for them.
Because Green Arrow is basically just like gadget heroes, isn't he?
Yeah. He was in comic books, he was a millionaire, spoiled brat, and he ended up getting... something happened where the ship he was on sank, and he got... stranded on this island, and that's where he learned how to, he had to make his own bow and arrow, and that's where he learned how to do it so well.
Okay.
Then he came back and he wasted his entire fortune on this. He ended up being completely broke, and now he is the sheriff of the town he lives in. I think it's Emerald City. And so he's sheriff by day, Green Arrow by night. And it really, throughout the entire thing, it tempers him from being this spoiled brat to being this really good archer to actually having humility.
I was just talking about Korra.
Yeah, that was the announcement that I thought was really cool. San Diego is that in addition to the current season that's under development of Korra, there are going to be two more like 13-ish episode seasons.
So we're gonna have a total of 4 seasons of Korra.
Yeah,
4 13-episode seasons. So I guess it's actually
226 episodes if you think of it in Japanese terms. But the Japanese well, have terms all gone 13.
In terms of what the new, you know, of what the original Avatar series were, they were, you know,
20-some episodes each.
I think I'm trying, because it's always hard, I always lose count with, like, the number of hour-long episodes that they sometimes intersperse.
They're about 20-ish each, yeah. Like, 19 to 20, because, like, the first season is about 20, but the last episode is basically 2 into 1.
It's 4 episodes.
Oh, no, sorry, I was thinking of the very last episode. No, the last, because there's the 1 2-parter in the first series, there's 2 2-parters in the second season.
Oh, yeah, there is in the original
Avatar. And then there's the
4-parter
in... at the end of the third season.
It's a 3-parter, actually.
4.
No, 4.
It was 4.
It was 4?
It was 2 hours.
I remember because I was putting up my blinds in the living room and they were showing that episode. So it took me a while. When I got done finishing them, I just sat down and finished watching and kept watching the episodes.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
And Netflix right now, it's totally screwed up. If you're watching it, the episode that has the drill and the serpent's pass is actually episode 38 when it should actually be like 32.
Ooh.
It just like shows up in the wrong spot. Like you just have to like scroll down and then it's there. Because we're like, wasn't there? Because we like went and watched the episode where, I'm trying to remember which one is immediately before that.
I can't remember what the one is immediately.
But then all of a sudden they're in Ba Sing Se. We're like, wait, there was stuff. There was lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we basically like, come into Ba Sing Se and Jet's like, those guys are firebenders.
Yeah,
because
it's Secrets of Ba Sing Se, where, you know, Jet's like following, you know, Uncle and Zuko around saying that, you know, they're firebenders and gets arrested and goes to Lake Logai. And you're like, but where's the episode where he watches Uncle firebend his teeth? It's like, and it was totally missing. We exited out and went back and it went like from episode 11 to episode 13 and we're like, what happened to episode 12? And we looked through, and yeah, it's listed differently, at least on Netflix.
Did you let Netflix know?
We really should let them know. It's Netflix, thing. If you're listening.
I mean, it's listed right, it's just it's not listed, in the right, it's just not in the right space. Right, it's listed as the right episode number, it's just not appearing actually in order.
You mean like how they did that to you with,
what else?
Gurren Lagann. Where you guys missed, like, one of the most important episodes.
They dropped out the episode where the guy dies. It's like...
that's, like, one of the biggest moments of the entire blasted series.
Because when I was watching, I was like, what in the heck is going on? And it, literally, that episode was not there. And I'm like, what is with this? And so that's why I finally borrowed it from you in the mirror's watch. And I was like, I'm like, this episode is the pivotal episode. It does basically almost a 180. Like, when the characters are like, yeah, everything's great, and they're like, everything sucks, and I don't want to live anymore, and what's the purpose of me being in existence?
Actually, you know, speaking of Gurren Lagann, that's a perfect example of a series that is great that doesn't have too much fan service, in my opinion.
It has just a little bit. It's just enough that I'm like, okay, I can deal with this. It's just a little bit, but it's not over the top.
And there's, like, only one character that has fan service involved with. So it's like, it's only when she's on.
Well, y'all feel but a little bit too, like, with the bathhouse scene. I mean, most of the guys are
I forgot that.
Was freaking hilarious when they had the censoring on there, then they remove it, and they're all in towels.
It's just like the mole. The mole is perfectly placed a couple of times. They're just like, yay!
Well, that was mainly for Kamina.
Yeah, I was like, yay, girl fan service! This rarely happened, ever.
I was just laughing at the part where they had, like, I can't remember, like, a dozen people in the littler part of the mech.
Oh, in, Gurren?
Yeah. It was like, everyone's crammed in there, like,
in the head, in the head with the thing closed.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm blue's pressed against here right now. I don't want to know what body part's pressed against me right now. Yeah.
Let's see. And then I also...
But has anybody watched, like, the second version of Gurren Lagann? Like, there is, like, the original, like, anime, but then there's, like, a redo. Like, they sort of redid it again. I haven't seen it. I've heard of it, but I haven't watched it. Because the only reason I found it is, you know, trolling through DeviantArt, and was like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, this is interesting. I was like, why is Yoko wearing this weird costume? But basically, they kind of redid the anime again. But it was like a sort of OVA sort of thing, and they have, like, it's sort of a different take on it. And I don't know if it's closer to the manga or sort of more, like, whatever we want to do sort of thing, but it's like
it was the movie or something. It was pretty close to whatever they want to do in the first place. I mean, they were throwing galaxies at each other at the end of the series.
Yeah, to me, I guess that's what it is. It's an anime that, just don't take it seriously.
I mean,
it's so over the top.
Yeah, it's the point. It's just like so ridiculous. You're just like, okay, we smash the head of the one mech on the other, and it works. We smash more mechs and ships together, and it works.
you don't ask questions. You just accept that it happened.
I just wonder why the main villain was like, you know, a drawing from 4chan.
Well, because it was like the nothing. Verse, basically, and I'm just like, really? And his love interest is dies, so it's just like...
That guy Simone could not catch a break.
On one hand, I can kind of see it, but on the other hand, I'm just like, guys, you're just copping out so bad, just give him a break on something.
Well, at least he got to marry her before she disappeared.
But she disappeared anyway!
Oh, spoiler alert!
It doesn't matter, this everybody's like... 4 or 5 years old at this point, so if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. Big spoilers. She dies.
Speaking of things that are ridiculously old that some people may not have seen yet, I finished watching season 4 of Farscape recently. And this happened to my coworker. He did not know about the Peacekeeper Wars movie.
Okay, let's put it this way. I did not know how Deep Space Nine ended, and Proteus totally ruined it for me, because I'm like, I never kind of...
I actually ruined it incorrectly, though, because my memory was bad.
But still,
I told her someone died who didn't die.
But still, I finally found out what it was, and I'm like, really? Come on, you should have told me that, because I had no idea. I'm sorry, I did not watch Deep Space Nine faithfully when it first came out, because honestly, I was too young at the time to really appreciate it, but after going back and watching it, it is my favorite Star Trek. The characterizations are just really good.
Have either of you seen Farscape?
No. I know of it,
okay,
but I've never watched it.
Do you guys care about me spoiling the end of season
4? You can spoil it all you want, because I saw the cover so many times.
By the time we watch it, we'll probably forget.
At the end of season 4, Crichton has destroyed the wormhole to Earth so he can't go home, but he had to do that in order to stop a alien species called the Skaren from invading his planet. And the Skaren are mean, and their skin is so thick, bullets and blasters don't do anything. They just bounce off or they basically are completely futile to shoot them. And they use this special plant in order to grow their intelligence. This plant is hummingbird feeder, basically. It's the plant that hummingbird feeder liquid comes out of.
Humming bird feed here is just sugar water.
Or not hummingbird feed. It's like, it's a green at the base, and then the flower turns red, and it's kind of prickly.
Like a thistle?
I can't think of the right term of it. I'll try and find a picture of it later.
A rose?
No.
Brome. It's a tropical plant that grows in the rainforest. Bromeliad?
Ah. You're the botanical
Cisterium
person.
Cisterium was the flower.
Oh, Forestscape Encyclopedia Project.
The people that have seen
there's too much Mountain Dew advertising on this thing. I'm sorry, I hate Mountain Dew.
That's the flower.
Kind of looks like a bird of paradise, but it's not a bird of paradise. Sorry, I am a little too far gone to botanically identify it.
Let's see.
We just planned on the future for our garden. We're like, go, Colorado wildflower seed mix. It has annuals, perennials, and biennials. We plant them in the fall after we sort of rescape our flower bed. Next year, we'll have a beautiful botanical garden.
It was called Cisterium in the show. It might be its real name. I don't remember.
It really, honestly, does not look like a real flower.
But apparently, in the Stargate universe, it grows in plentiful Farscape. Here on Farscape universe. I said Stargate, didn't I? In the Farscape universe, it grows in plentiful. So they were coming to invade the planet in order to get it. Yes.
Which one is based off of Gene Roddenberry's idea? Was it Farscape?
No, that was Earth Final Conflict.
Thank you.
Which was interesting.
So, anywho.
I only caught one episode, and I was just like, this is
good. They destroy the wormhole, get back safe and sound. They land Moya, the living ship, on a planet so they can heal Pilot and the ship. They actually have to separate Pilot and the ship, which they're actually a symbiotic relationship, so taking them apart too long is a very bad thing.
I'll take your word for that.
Basically, it's a symbiosis. Pilot lives in Moya, and they talk to each other through, like, a symbiosis type of thing. It makes more sense if you watch the series.
Yeah, I just haven't watched it. I've heard good things about it. I just never gotten around
Wrighton
to it.
Wrighton and Aaron are outside the ship on a boat. She's with his child and lets him know that, you know, the child is actually going to be born now. It was removed from the stasis that it was in. So they're going to actually have a kid. Well, on the same time, he proposes. So they're celebrating, they're happy. Random ship flies through, scans them, and then shoots them with this weird ray that crystallizes them. They fall into probably 1,000 different pieces. Some are on the boat, some are in the ocean. To be continued, end of the series.
Most disappointing ending ever.
Well, I think it wasn't intended, wasn't it?
Basically, the series got pulled. They had to have been expecting a fifth season, and it didn't happen. So then...
This is when you, like, bash your head into a wall, because you're just like, why'd you stop it here, you stupid syndicated television?
Blame sci-fi.
Oh, I just keep thinking, like, the more I keep hearing people, like, watching, like, cable prices on TV go up, I'm just like, honestly, guys, you're just gonna have to suck it up and cater to the individual taste, which is gonna suck for a lot of channels, but some channels aren't so bad. I'm like, really, honestly, I don't have cable. If I got cable, there's only certain channels I want. I want Home and Garden Television, Food Network, maybe Food TV, and a couple other random channels. I don't need everything else.
So yeah, it ended in 2003. A year later, they came out with the Peacekeeper Wars, which actually brought everything back, cleaned everything up. They gathered the pieces of Aaron and Crichton, put them back together, and they resolved the war between the Peacekeepers and the Skaren. I'm going to spoil some stuff here.
Spoiler alert!
The entire time, everybody's after Crichton because he knows about wormholes, and they're positive he knows how to make wormhole weapons, which he doesn't. Well, he finally goes to the people that actually live in the wormhole dimension and found out how to make a wormhole weapon. So he made it. He set it off. And he basically threatened both armadas that he wasn't turning it off unless they agreed to make peace, or both fleets and him were going to get sucked into the black hole he created. So basically, he's just sitting there. It's like, we're all going to die. You guys better make up real fast or we're all going to die. Needless to say, they agreed to peace. And then he was barely able to shut it because he didn't know if he'd actually be able to.
Well, I guess there'd be peace either way.
Yeah, basically, John Crichton is the best thing of chaotic good. He is freaking insane. But it's a great series. I highly advise that anybody watch seasons 1 through 4 and then the movie. But yeah, one of my coworkers, he came by, he's like, what the hell was that? What was with that final episode? I'm like, go back to Netflix, look for the Peacekeeper Wars. It cleans everything up. It's like, get better! Because he didn't know about the movie after I told him he had to watch the series. Got all the way through it and got to that ending.
I only know about it because I worked at Blockbuster forever and we had, like, everything in the movie at work for rental.
Gotcha.
But not a lot of people checked it out. Maybe I should check it out.
It was an unappreciated TV show, but it's really good. And then both, after the series ended, both the guy that played John Crichton and the chick that played Erin ended up, this is why I probably got those partly confused, they ended up as members of SG-1. Actually, the guy that played Crichton took over Jack's job when Jack got promoted to the leading Stargate Command.
Which one was Jack?
Okay.
Tell me from the original Stargate movie.
He was the commander.
See, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, yes. Okay. He was Kurt Russell's character in the original movie.
Thank you.
So when he got promoted to leader of Stargate Command and they had to replace him, they ended up replacing him with the character that played Crichton.
Okay. Thank you. So, I'm sorry, I've only seen, really, the Stargate movie. I have not watched any of the Stargate television series in, like, any great capacity.
They expanded on the universe really nicely. Explained more about, you know, the whole god thing, and that different races, gods and such, were actually alien visitors, such as the Greys, were at the Norse gods. So, like, Thor is actually a Grey.
Like, really crazy alien guys with the big eyes and such?
Yeah. They were actually the Norse gods. And they were actually, they were good aliens.
I don't know how much I like that.
It worked. It actually did work. And they weren't creepy. Anyway, I think we should probably roll it up here. Mm-hmm. We've only been talking for, like, 45 minutes.
I should talk about so much other stuff. Put the topic in front of me.
And see, this is why we need you drunk when you record. Anywho, so, you can go ahead and visit us at thegameslave.com. Here you can see our articles, this podcast, our store and everything. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, rants, feel free to send them to mail@thegameslave.com. And game on!
Game on!
Game on!